Hi, I'm Dr. William Renner, and it's my pleasure to host this series of podcasts on evidence-based medicine with Dr. Alan Safdi. I'm the Emeritus Director of Radiology at the Ohio GI and Liver Institute. Dr. Alan Safdi is Chief Medical Officer of Quadrant Health, owned by Stanford University and the Mayo Clinic. Dr. Safdi served as Chairman of the Department of Nutrition and Gastroenterology at the Deaconess Hospital and Ohio GI Liver Institute, and has been elected President of the Ohio Gastroenterology Society. Dr. Safdi has been the primary investigator in more than 200 medical studies and co-investigator in more than 800 studies.
Dr. Renner, today I'm talking with Dr. Alan Safdi. We're talking about the need for protein, especially as you get older, for maintaining a healthy muscle mass and a healthy weight. If you haven't heard our previous podcast on protein, please take a listen to this. Today, we're going to talk about creatine. Now, we see that all the time at the gym. When I go to the gym, there's all these young guys carrying these little containers around with their added protein. Alan, what's in those little containers those guys are carrying around?
Well, I'm not sure what the guys, what they're exactly carrying around, but I would imagine it's a protein powder, often a pea isolate. When I've asked a lot of them, there's a protein powder along with creatine. Creatine mixes much better in water or juice or other things. Protein powders are kind of gritty, even if they don't have any flavor. So what is creatine? Creatine's a naturally occurring compound. It's found in all our muscle cells. It's stored as phosphocreatine, and it regulates, it helps in regenerating ATP, ADP to ATP. I won't go into that, but it helps.
Those are the energy.
They're the cellular energy. The ATPs. So we're taking one level and then we're generating the cellular energy. So what people have said over the years is, you know, it increases muscle strength and maybe increases mass, especially if you combine it with resistance training. It doesn't do anything if you're not really combining it with resistance training, because it enhances the amount of energy available for those muscle contractions. It does not work instantly whatsoever. It's not an androgenic steroid, and it may support, which is one area of research that I'm fascinated with, brain energy metabolism. So, you know, can older adults take it? And that's a lot of people that ask me. And yes, it may be helpful. We're still in the infancy of research on this. It may benefit cognition and neuroprotection. It may reduce sarcopenia, which we talked about during the last, podcast that we did.
Right. Sarcopenia is the loss of muscle mass. But yeah, go ahead.
Your age-related muscle loss, you know, all of us have some. I would hate to, you know, generally safe. There are some potential side effects to it. But it is most studies on creatine have been done in the past on athletic performance. So that would take you and I out of that. And did it improve athletic performance? And yes, in a lot of studies, you know, for me to generate 5% more strength or force during a short workout really is going to mean very little, because I'm not a competitive athlete at this point in my life. But for an athlete, yes, that may make a substantial difference. And it's been shown, you know, there was an analysis of multiple studies found that those who took creatine supplements while resistance training increased their lean body mass. And that's what we're interested in. That's why we were talking about previously DEXA scans and CT scans to evaluate where is their fat, you know, not what your weight is. We now use a body roundness index more than we do a body mass index. And we'll talk about that on a future podcast. But we're interested, if you have fat arms and legs, that's not as great a risk as if you have fat around your pancreas and your liver. So we're interested in this lean body mass. So it is something that we're very interested in. And
so
it's something.
How much creatine should people take? If they're going to add some creatine to their diet, what form should they use and how do they take it?
Well, most of the time, you know, if people ask, you know, one, it may affect your creatinine, which is a blood test your doctors, you know, creatine, a small portion, is created to creatinine. So if you have renal disease. Now, if you're going to take any supplements, always talk to your doctor about it. But the kind that we usually recommend is creatinine monohydrate. And it's, it's probably the most pure form. And it may, I'm not going to say it boosts energy. It's a means for these muscles to create energy. And you have to take it regularly. It does not something, it doesn't work if you just sit on your rear end. It doesn't really have any effect. And there are studies that, it may improve the memory function. So how much would you take? I would start at a relatively low dose. You can start, a loading dose is not necessarily necessary. A maintenance dose of about 3 to 5 grams per day, and indefinitely. You can take it with water, you can take it with a meal. The insulin with a meal helps the creatine uptake into the cells. So creatine moves into the cells as insulin secreted. So taking it on an empty stomach may not be as beneficial as taking it with a meal. Ensure adequate hydration with that. There's occasional side effects that, and I'm not sure they're real or not, but people have complained to me of minor GI problems with it, indigestion, bloating, water retention. There's been no evidence in people with normal kidneys, and healthy individuals that it causes renal disease. This is quite different than anabolic or androgenic steroids, which are high-risk agents.
Yes,
So I don't want people
and
confused.
those agents in the past have been very heavily used. I know of high school teams, even to this day, there's reports of high school teams, whether on the football teams or their track teams or the weightlifting teams, they have them take pills, and those are androgenic steroids, and those have serious side effects. Well, you're an expert in GI. The thing that I've seen as a radiologist are the liver tumors, but I've also seen heart valvular problems. What's been your experience with it?
Well, they have major downside risk. So we don't recommend it to anybody. And they include things like testosterone, that people are taking to build up muscle mass. Don't believe in that. We use testosterone for people that have hypogonadism, but it's being abused for muscle growth. So one of the downsides are liver toxicity, as you mentioned, testicular atrophy. Gynecomastia, which means breasts are getting larger, more aggression or behavioral disorders, acne, and a lot of these people when we see them come in, do they have, and the more elderly people, I'm not sure how we qualify elderly anymore, but there's an increase of atrial fibrillation, prostate cancer, and blood clots. So, creatine will put in the relatively very safe category with adequate hydration. It's over-the-counter supplement. Where androgenic steroids are prescription only, they're banned in sports. Muscle growth may be dramatic with androgenic steroids, which we don't recommend, but very risky. Muscle growth with creatine may be more modest, but sustainable. And will it help, cognition? That and will it be neuroprotective? That's what we're looking at now. I'm encouraged that it makes sense. That we're evaluating that. There was 16 clinical trials, looking at all the way from schizophrenia to Parkinson's disease, and there was some improvement, not as dramatic as you would like, but it may be beneficial, and we'll probably do another podcast on this next year as we get more and more evidence of disease. If you have renal disease, please always consult your doctor before you take that. Even if you don't, always tell your doctor about everything that you're doing. They're the gatekeeper of your health. So I think it's an interesting agent. At this point in time in my life, I have not taken it. I don't see any degradation in my muscle strength. But if I did at some point, and I'm a vegetarian, remember we make creatine ourselves. If you're eating meat, you're getting quite a bit of creatine. But we all make creatine, and it's not, how much do we make? About 2 grams. on average. So it is something that all of us do make, and it's not something that you have to take a supplement for, but I think it's an interesting idea to consider, whether you're going to take a supplement for that, and we'll have to discuss that further. But I'm very encouraged by the data we've seen so far.
Alan, this is another great topic. Stay tuned if you want to keep hearing these important topics on health and wellness with evidence-based medicine, not the supposition. All right, Alan, thank you. Thank you much.
Thank you, Bill. And remember, evidence-based medicine is substantiated by real research.
And peer review articles.
There, and
Right, but
we don't want to see that go away in this environment right now.
thank you, Alan.
Take care.